third chapter of Ephesians, verse 14, Paul writes this: "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Oh, what sort of a love is this? A love which passeth knowledge. A love which has a breadth and a length and a depth and a height which cannot naturally be comprehended. A love so vast, so deep, that reaches so far and so wide, that it passeth knowledge. The love of Christ. This is a love unlike any other love. Unlike the love of man. Man's love, even in its truest and most selfless form, is a pale and an imperfect reflection of the love of God in Jesus Christ. Man in this world, by and large, is full of hatred. He hates God. He hates his fellow man. He hates any that get in his way. He hates by nature those things which are good, those things which are of God. And he loves those things which are evil, those things which are earthly, those things which his carnal nature desires. You only need to look around you. You only need to consider your own life and your own pathway to see hatred on every side. You only need to see the daily news of events in this world to see how little true love there is which emanates from men. There are wars and rumours of wars. There are reports of violence against this one and against that one. There are angry and hateful words and comments reported every day against these and against those. There is strife and there is envy. There is jealousy. There is despising. There is ridicule. The vast amount that emanates from the heart and the mouths of men is hateful. And yet in this world of hate, in this world of sin, in this world of anger and violence and warfare, there is also that which man calls love. There is that which man seeks after and desires, which he calls love. Men sing of love. Men write of love. Their greatest goal in many arenas is to know love. And yet what they call love is such a poor reflection of that true love which is found in God and God alone. When man speaks of love, it's usually tied in with desire and lust, but it is almost always tied in with a desire to be loved. Mankind loves when he is loved. Men love those that love them. And those that hate them, they hate back. When people speak of falling in love, they fall in love with someone that falls in love with them. There is a selfish desire to be loved. Man's love is not selfless. It's so tied in with selfishness and a desire to be loved back that very often what men and women call love really is anything but. What love we see man show is such a twisted, fallen thing. It's such a poor reflection of that true love which is found in God alone that it is often hardly worthy of the name. It has self at the centre. And man's love is set on so many things that it shouldn't be. Men love money. Men love wealth. Men love fame. Men love popularity and power and acclaim, praise, power, authority, control. Men love all of those things that boost their own self-esteem. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul writes, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Oh, how many men and women live in this world, seeking and desiring and striving for all those things which bring them sorrow. They seek to be rich. They seek after money. They seek after wealth and all that it can buy them. And all it brings is sorrow. And they seek after all those things attached, the praise of men. Oh, to be seen by others, to have things that others don't have. Oh, to drive around in such and such a car, or to live in such and such a place, or to dress in such and such clothes. Oh, to be seen for what you have, as though that defines what you are. Oh, to be loved. How men seek after all that the world can give them, and yet even when they gain it all, they have nothing. As Christ says elsewhere, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What of your love then? Your love for things, your love for popularity, your love for praise, your self-glory, your pride. Oh, what a great person you became. Oh, how many spake well of you. Oh, how much you owned. And yet, when you grow old, it all slips through your fingers. When you grow old and your body crumbles and your mind goes, what is it all then? Where is it all? What can you do with any of these things? It all fades away. And when death pulls you through from the other side, it's all left behind. And all that you loved in this world has done you no good. Even those people you love, because they loved you, and do nothing for your soul. Even those who spake so well of you will do nothing for your soul if you know not the love of God in Jesus Christ. Where is your love set? What do you love? What do you desire? What do you seek after? Do you seek after the here and the now, the fleeting, the passing. Those things which seem so important to you at this moment, but which in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years will have gone and passed and be nothing, which as you grow older will have fleeted away, passed by you and be worthless. So many things which seem so appealing, which so often bring such sorrow. Well, however much comfort they might bring in a temporary sense in this world, whether they are material things or whether they are the love of friends or family, however much comfort they may bring, they pass in a moment. And if you know not the love which is found in Christ, then you will stand before a holy God on that day of judgment, when you're brought, as with all men and all women, to stand before him, when your life here below has come to its conclusion, and you stand before your Maker, you will stand before him naked, with nothing except your sins, your corruption, your selfishness, your pride, your arrogance, your hate. Did you love him? Or did you hate him? Did you love his word? Or did you hate it? Did you love his gospel? Or did you despise it? Did you love Christ? Or did you turn your back upon him? When you stand before him, and he demands righteousness, did you love righteousness? Did you have a hunger for righteousness? A thirst for righteousness? Did you love him? Did you desire him? Where was your love set in this world? John says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love God, you will know that this world is condemned already, and everything that is in it is passing. Yes, we pass through. Yes, we eat and we drink. Yes, we live here below. Yes, we have friends and family. But if you love God, you will know that all this is passing. How different from the love of man is the love of God. The love of God. As I said, man's love, most often, is selfish. At its very best, it is a poor reflection of the love of God. There are some individuals who have shown some selfless acts. Occasionally we find those who will suffer for the sake of others. Occasionally we come across those who will put their own welfare to one side in order to spare others. There are those accounts of those in warfare, in battle, who have laid down their lives for their friends. Man at his best will sometimes lay down his life for the good of others, for friends. Yet God contrasts even man's best love with his love in Romans in chapter 5. Where he says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul points out to you that every now and then, sometimes, for a good man, some would dare to die. Sometimes there are those who will lay down their lives for their friends. Sometimes there are those soldiers who in battle will lay down their lives so that their friends aren't injured. Sometimes there are those we read of who have done heroic acts in order to prevent others from being hurt. There was a tragic account of a shooting in America this week where the reports are that certain teachers threw themselves in front of students to prevent them being hurt. We hear of these accounts in times like this, that occasionally there are those who will suffer for the good of others. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, man's love at his best may mean that some will suffer for their friends. But God offered up Christ, his Son, in the place of sinners. Christ came and died and suffered for those who hated him. O sinner, don't you know that when Christ died, he died for sinners that hated him? O believer, if he died for you, he died for you when you hated him. He didn't wait for a show of love from you. He didn't wait until you loved him. And then he showed his love for you by doing this. Christ died when we hated him. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, what a contrast God's love is with man's love. God shows his love in offering his Son for those that hated and rejected him. The very opposite of how man would act. The very opposite of how you act. You speak of love, you speak of those you love, but you love those that love you. And in general, you hate those that hate you. Which is why Christ says to his disciples, in contrast to all the thinking and all the attitude of natural man, Christ says, love your enemies. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Man says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If someone hits me, I'll hit them. If someone hurts me, I'll hurt them. If someone defrauds me, I'll defraud them. Fair is fair. God says, love your enemies. Turn the other cheek. Do good unto them that despitefully use you. Love those that hate you. Show forth something of the love of God, which he commends unto us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God. What a contrast God's love is to man's love. God's love is shown in Christ. God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God shows his love to his people in Christ. In Romans 8 we read, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, how certain the love of God is to those for whom Christ suffered. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, he says unto his people, and having died for us, and having set his love upon us, nothing will separate us from that love. But that love of God is shown unto his people through his Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Christ. We read elsewhere in the scriptures that the character of God, that God himself is love. God is love. True love is found in God and in God alone. Which is why when we consider the love of man by nature, it is such a warped, such a failed reflection of the love of God. Man was created in the image of God, the image of he who is love. Yet fallen man has fallen so far from that image that all man's doing, all man's ways are stained by sin. Man has become a selfish thing. Man's very fall into sin was fundamentally a love of self and to glorify self at the expense of God. So rather than loving God, he loves himself. Rather than seeking the glory and the honour of God, he seeks the glory and honour of self. Rather than seeking to serve God, he serves himself. Rather than serving God, you serve yourself. Rather than loving God, you love yourself. Rather than glorifying God, you glorify yourself. All that you do is for you, not God. God is love. But what there is left in you is but hatred for this God. Because you will seek your ends over his ends. And should the glory of God cross your path, should the things of God cross your path and prevent you seeking out your own will and your own way and your own desire and your own ends, then you will reject that glory, you will reject those things, you will reject that God that gets in your way in order to have your way. God is love. Yet we're full of hate for this God. There's no true love outside of God. Fallen man's love is a selfish love. There's no true love outside of God. But to know God, to be one with God, is to know he who is love. To be united unto God through Jesus Christ is to know that love. To be one with Christ is to be one with the love of God in Christ. It's that love that brings us unto him. It's that love that can make us one with him. It's that love that makes him known unto us. There's no understanding, no knowledge of God except we know his love. There's no being drawn unto God except that love draws us. There's no comprehension or understanding of God except we come to know something of that love. And when we come to know it, nothing will separate us from it. Paul writes elsewhere, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. God looked upon this fallen world. He looked upon this world of sinners like you and I. He looked upon this sea of men and women full of hate and despising of him. And he said of a people, they are my people. He said of a great company throughout time, throughout this world, that is my people. And I will set my love upon them. And I will ransom them. And I will redeem them. I will ransom them from the grave. I will set them free. I will pay the price of the judgment of my anger, of my wrath, of my righteousness against their sins. I will rain it down upon their sins. I will blot out their sins. But I will blot them out in another. I will take their sins away, but I won't judge them. I'll judge another in their place. I will find a sacrifice for their sins, who can take away their sins, who can swallow up the judgment, who can bring in righteousness for them. I will do this because I love them with an everlasting love. This is the God of love, who looks upon a world of hate and looks upon a people taken out of it in love, in mercy and grace. Has he looked upon you? Has he looked upon you with love? Has he looked upon you with mercy? Has he looked upon you with grace? Has he said, I will not reward your iniquity? I will not reward your transgressions by judging you. But I will find a sacrifice in your place. I will judge your sins in another. I will slay mine own son in your place, because I love you in him, and I will bring you unto me in newness of life through the blood of Jesus Christ. I will bring you unto eternal life, newness of life, everlasting life, eternal life. I will take you who were once dead, you who are dead in trespasses and sins, you who are spiritually dead, you who are physically dying, I will take you who are dead and make you to live. I will give you eternal life, because I will slay your sins. I will bring the second death down upon that Saviour who I will place in your place. I will put him in your place. I will put him where you are. I will put him upon the judgment seat. I will put him upon a cross and crucify him. I will pour down my wrath and mine anger against him in your place, that you who are dead might live, and that you will live with a life unlike any life, with everlasting life, with an abundance of life, with eternal life, a life without beginning and without end. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude writes, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The love of God brings life, and nothing else does. Seek all that you will in this world. Seek all that you want in this world. Seek those whom you will in this world. Seek love wherever you may find it. But you'll never find eternal life in this world or in the love of men or women. It all fades, it all perishes. Mankind may tell you that all you need is love. Love will solve every problem, but it hasn't solved their problems. The world is full of more sin than ever. Their love hasn't solved any problems. Their love multiplies hatred and sin. It never saves. The love you need is the love of God. What you need is the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Without this love, before you stretches eternal judgment, eternal wrath, eternal death. That is what awaits. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John writes. God's love is seen in Christ. It's seen in how God sent his Son into this world, that sinners might live through him. He shows his love to this world. He's manifested it. He's made it known in his Son. He says to the world, there's love. You want love, you speak of love, you desire love. Here is love. Here it is, love. Here is my Son, whom I have given for sinners as a sacrifice for their sins, whom I have slain that dead sinners might live, who gave himself for those whom he loves, who suffered for those who hate him. Here is love. He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. The love of God. The love of God is seen in Christ alone. What do you know of the love of Christ? What do you know of the love of Christ? Paul writes in our chapter in Ephesians, his prayer that you would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you know his love, then you know Christ. And if you know Christ, then you're one with Christ, and the life of Christ is in you. And if the life of Christ is in you, then the fullness of God is in you. Because God is in his Son, and his Son dwells in all those whom he's brought to life through his gospel, through his death for them. Do you know the love of Christ? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. What a knowledge this is, what it is to know the love of Christ, to feel the love of Christ, not just to hear of it, not just to read of it, not just to know that Christ came into the world, God's Son died, but to know that he loved you. To know that he came into the world for you as though you were the only one he came for. Perhaps you're the only one he came for in this world. He came and he suffered and he was rejected by all men because he would come for you. Do you know whether he came for you? What a knowledge it is to know that he came for you, to know that he took your sins, to know that he bore your sins, to know that he suffered for your sins, to know that he felt the weight of the guilt of your sins. Oh, have you felt the weight of the guilt of your sins? Have you ever felt guilty about your sins? Have you ever felt convicted over your sins? Do you ever confess and own up to your sins? Or is there always an excuse? There's always someone else to blame. There's always someone to condemn. You did nothing wrong. I've done nothing wrong. It's his fault. It's their fault. But it's never your fault. We're all sinners, but so few know they are. So few accept they are. So few confess they are. Well, when Christ felt and bore the sins of his people, he felt the condemnation. He felt the weight of the guilt. He felt the conviction. He knew what it was to bear those sins and to own them as his sins. Even though he wasn't the one that committed them, he took them as though he had. He took them as the one who would bear them and who would own them. Have you ever felt something of your own sins and your own need to be cleansed of that sin and your own need to be washed of that sin, your own need to be delivered from it? If you have, then you will rejoice in the coming of Christ into this world. You will rejoice that he came to take away those sins. You will rejoice that he suffered and bore those sins. And you will rejoice when God makes known unto you something of the knowledge of the love of Christ. Something of the depth of that love. Something of the breadth of that love. The length, the height of a love which passeth knowledge. However much you know of it, it's still more. However deep you felt it to be, it goes deeper. However high you felt it to stretch, it goes higher. However wide you felt it to be, it goes wider. However much you've learnt of it, there's more to know. It's a love which passeth knowledge. It's a love from which, once you've come to know it, once you're found in Christ, once Christ dwells in your heart by faith, once God's taken you through his gospel and caused you to live and put faith in a once blind and dead heart to see and to hear and to comprehend Christ, to hear his voice in the gospel, to see him crucified in your place. Once he's put faith in your heart and shed abroad the love of God in Christ in your heart, once that love enters in, then it is a love from which you can never be separated. Never be separated. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul asks. No one. No one. So tribulation, or distress, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, none of them. None of them. None shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a love from which you can never be separated. Once God sets his love upon you in Christ, once Christ sets his love upon you, you'll never be separated from it. In this world, people fall in love. People get married. People spend a lifetime with someone. But death separates them. Or in the case of those sorry cases, divorce and separation separates them. Or all sorts of unfaithfulness separate them. Love blows hot and cold. People go here and people go there. But even in the best of cases, where people are married for many years, death in the end separates them. But with the love of Christ, once you come to know it, nothing separates. So tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, nothing will separate you from his love once you know it. If he loves you, he loves you to the end. He loves you eternally. He loves you beyond death, beyond the grave, beyond this world. He loves you into the next world and through the next world. He loves you through time into eternity. It never stops. His love never ceases. There is no love like the love of Christ. You want to be loved, then you need the love of Christ. You want to know what it is to be loved, then you need the love of Christ. If you say, I've never known what it is to be loved, I've been so hard done by, I've been so despitefully used and treated in my lifetime. Everyone I've come across who pretends to love me, soon I'm let down by them. I don't know what love is. Then you need the love of Christ. All love, all true love is found in God alone. God is love. And God's love is found in Christ. There's no true love apart from this love. This is the love you need. This is the salvation you need. This is the Saviour you need. Paul writes of this love that it constrains him. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The love of Christ constraineth us. He had to go and preach this gospel. He had to go and declare of the love of God and the love of Christ and the death of Christ that demonstrated this love. He had to go and preach this to the Gentiles, to the four corners of the earth, to find those for whom Christ died, because that love constrained him. He loves Christ and he loves those for whom Christ died. He must make this love known. Do you know it? You know it. If you do, you'll know it through the gospel. You'll only come to know it through the truth of the gospel. The true gospel of the true Saviour and the true love of God. Many speak of the love of God and love of Christ, but what they speak of is not this love. They say that God loves everyone, when the Bible says he loves his own. They say he loves everyone when the scriptures say he loves the sheep and not the goats. He loves his elect, he loves his chosen, he loves all those for whom he died. He loves his own with a particular love. What sort of a love is it if God loves everyone and then condemns many unto judgment in hell? If God loves everyone, then he died for everyone and he will save everyone and everyone will be saved. And there are none lost and none who perish. But we know that there are many who are lost and many who perish and many who die in their sins and many who go to the grave hating God. And God did not love them. For if he did, he'd have saved them. The love of God in Jesus Christ is sure and certain and particular. If he loves you, you know that he loves you in a way that he doesn't love everyone. That's what makes his love so rich and valuable. It's a gift. It's a gift not given to everyone unilaterally. It's a gift given to his people particularly. And it's a gift which is made known in the gospel. In the truth of the gospel, in the true gospel, in the sound words of the gospel, which is why Paul says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. If you love Christ, if you have faith in Christ, then that gospel that you have heard, you will hold fast. You will cling on to it. You will defend the form of sound words. You will defend the truth because the truth of salvation is found in them. Alter the gospel, alter the message, alter the truth of God, and you have no love. Tell everyone that everybody is loved by Jesus, that Jesus loves everyone, and you've altered his gospel. You've devalued his love. These people that run around saying Jesus loves you to everyone without discretion, without cause, have taken that love of God and made it of nothing worth. Their Jesus loves no one. Their love is nothing. Their Jesus, who loves everyone, will condemn half of them to hell. More than half. It's a worthless love. Such a message is an attack on the gospel. But the form of sound words, which we've heard from the apostles, and from God by his Spirit through those whom he has sent with the same message, the form of sound words which we hold in faith and love in Christ Jesus, is a message concerning the love of Christ, the love of God in Christ alone, and the love of God in Christ which caused Christ to come into this world for his elect chosen people, his people whom he saves from their sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He will save all his people from their sins. Everyone whom he loves. Everyone whom he died for. everyone whom he redeemed. Did he die for you? Did he love you? Did he redeem you? Has he come in his gospel to you and made this known unto you? If he has, then this love which he makes known in the gospel, which you hear of by faith, which you come to experience, is a love which will change you. Because it's such a powerful love. What did he do for those whom he loved? He laid down his life. He suffered and died for those who hated him. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's where his love took him. He loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself in every way that he could. He offered himself up. He died in my place. That's what it took to save me. He died for me. And this is why his love is so wondrous. Because he loved me with such a love when I hated him that he was willing to die for me. Walk in love, he says elsewhere, as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. His love is shown in that he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice. What greater love is there than this? That a man should lay down his life for his friends. What greater love is there that Christ should lay down his life for those that hated him? And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, John writes in Revelation, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. What a thing to wash us in. We speak of it in the gospel. We're familiar with the terms. But what a thing to be washed in, the blood of another. To be washed through the death of another in our place. We're cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. He died that his people might live. Do you know this love? If you know this love, then this love will emanate from you. The remarkable thing about the love of Christ made known unto his people is that they whom he loves, love him back. They who once knew nothing of the true love of God, now love. They love him. They love his gospel, they love his word, they love his truth, they love his Father, they love everything to do with him, and they love his church and his people. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Do you love Christ? Do you love his people? You love his word. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And every one that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. If you love Christ, you love those whom he's brought to life by his gospel. You'll love those like you, sinners like you. Rebels like you, wretched creatures like you, full of imperfections by nature, but those like you who've come to know his gospel, those who've heard of him, those who've been washed by his grace, you'll love them. You love them not for what you see in them by nature, for you'll see little in them by nature to love, but you'll love them because you see Christ in them and the love of Christ in them and the love of Christ that comes from them back to Christ. You'll love them for Christ's sake. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ, Paul says in Thessalonians. May the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. You can't lead yourself there. You won't lead yourself there. By nature, you don't want to know. By nature, you're shut to these things. Your ears are shut. Your mind is shut. You want to be anywhere else. You want to do your things, the things you love. You seek after what you want for your glory. But if God by his gospel takes you and leads you unto the cross and shows you his Son and shows you his cross and shows you his blood shed for sinners and says, I did this for you, and makes known that he died for you in particular, then he will direct your heart into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. You'll wait to hear his voice. You'll wait for his return. You'll wait to be with him forevermore. You'll wait because you love him who first loved you. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labour of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, Paul writes. Paul writes this to the saints, those who know the love of Christ. He sees in them the work of God in their hearts. He sees their work of faith. He sees their labour of love. He sees their patient hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees the fruit of their salvation. Those whom Christ loves, love Christ. Those whom Christ loves, rest in faith in Christ. Those whom Christ loves, cease to trust in themselves. Cease to trust in their own works and righteousness. Cease to trust in their own wisdom and understanding. They cease to glory in self. They cease to seek after what others seek after in this world. No longer do they care for that which brings them glory in this world. No longer do they care for the pride, for the praise and the adulation of others. No longer do they care for the things of this world. They love Christ. And their work of faith and their labour of love and their patient hoping is for Christ. They want him, they want to know him, they want to see him, they want to be with him. They love him. They love his gospel. They love his church. They love his people. Paul writes elsewhere that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Oh, is your heart knit together in love with your brethren? Are you one in Christ? Do you love his gospel? Do you love one another as you are in Christ? Oh, to be knit together. Finally, Paul writes elsewhere, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. You know Christ's love. That love that passeth knowledge, then you will love him. And you will love those for whom he died. Those like you, taken off a dung heap, beggars off a dung heap, taken from the precipice of hell, taken from judgment, plucked as brands from the burning. You'll love those poor, wretched sinners. who've come to know the grace of God which brings salvation, the mercy and the love of God, the love of God in Christ Jesus, and you with them, in whose heart Christ dwells by faith, will be rooted and grounded in love. And you with them will be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. The love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You know it, as he made it known unto you. As he said unto you, as he said unto Paul, that he loved you and gave himself for you.